Welcome to the Pitcott Podcast. I am your host, Bill Pitcott, and I am absolutely thrilled to be here today.
And I am Annabelle Pitcott. So excited to be co-hosting this with you today.
And today we are diving into something that, honestly, so many business owners just get completely wrong. I mean, imagine spending like 6 straight hours crafting this perfect, incredibly insightful article, right?
Yeah.
You refine every single sentence, you hit publish, you lean back in your chair.
Absolute crickets. Just, you know, nothing.
Exactly. Zero traffic, zero leads, just another digital ghost town. So today we are doing a deep dive into exactly why like 90% of business blogs end up as these abandoned wastelands. And more importantly, we've got the precise blueprint to ensure yours isn't one of them.
Yeah, it's such a crucial topic because honestly, the strategies we're unpacking today.
Oh, wait, real quick, before we get into that, I had to mention that today's incredible blueprint comes directly from the bestseller ebooks. Available in the Pitcott ebook store. It is just an absolute goldmine. So to grab these blueprints for yourself, visit www.pitcott.com/books to download. But before we get into the mechanics of this strategy, subscribe to our channel if you haven't, activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
We really do appreciate that. And, you know, getting back to the blueprint, we are going to exhaustively unpack every single critical strategic decision you have to make before you even think about setting up a domain. Because
starting without a plan is just dangerous.
Yeah, it really is. A blog started without a surgical plan is actually worse than having no blog at all. It's just this massive ongoing drain on your operational resources.
Totally. So let's start with probably the most uncomfortable question a business owner can ask themselves right off the bat, which is, you know, should you even be writing a blog in the first place?
Right. It's a tough pill to swallow for some.
It is, because it is so easy to fall into that trap of looking at a competitor and thinking, well, they have a blog, so we need a blog. Mm-hmm. But the Pitcott methodology demands a really serious reality check on the actual operational bandwidth required here.
It really demands that reality check because honestly, the commitment is monumental. When you look at the anatomy of a truly optimized post,
it's not just typing out your morning thoughts, is it?
Not at all. I mean, the blueprint highlights that a single well-researched post takes between 3 to 6 hours.
Wow. 3 to 6 hours.
Yeah, and let's break down why that is. You know, you aren't just opening a Word doc. You are spending time clustering semantic keywords to really understand search intent. You're structuring H2 and H3 tags so Google can actually parse the data for featured snippets. You're writing, editing, formatting for user experience, sourcing or designing high-quality featured images, adding schema markup.
This whole production.
Exactly. So 3 to 6 hours is actually a very conservative estimate if you are doing it right.
And doing that, what, twice a month is the recommended baseline?
Yeah.
With once a month being the absolute bare minimum just to keep the lights on, essentially.
Yeah, once a month at the bare minimum.
Because I love this analogy we were talking about earlier. A blog with its last post dated like 14 months ago.
Yeah.
It's exactly like a physical storefront with dead brown plants in the window and flickering fluorescent lights.
Oh, absolutely. It's a terrible look.
It sends this subconscious signal to a prospect that you are, I don't know, inactive, inattentive, or possibly out of business entirely.
Precisely. It actively erodes the exact trust you're trying to build. And, you know, this leads to a very common yet completely fatal operational myth, which is this idea that content creation can just be crowdsourced across your existing team.
Oh, the classic, everyone will contribute a post a month strategy.
Exactly. And it fails almost every single time.
Because if it's everyone's job, it's literally nobody's job, right?
Right. It immediately falls to the absolute bottom of the priority list the second a client has an emergency or, you know, a sales quota needs to be met. Content is a core business function. It requires a dedicated owner whose KPIs, their key performance indicators, are tied directly to its success.
Okay, but let's look at the friction here. Say a small business owner is listening to this right now. They are totally strapped for time, their team is at full capacity, but they desperately need the domain authority and that organic search traffic that a structured blog provides.
Mm.
What is their lifeline? How do they survive that 3 to 6 hour requirement without just, you know, sacrificing quality?
That is where the Pitcot freelancer strategy becomes absolutely critical.
Tell me more about that.
Well, outsourcing is a highly legitimate lever to pull, but, and this is a big but, only if you understand the mechanics of thought leadership. You cannot just hand a freelancer a generic topic like the future of logistics and just walk away.
Oh, I've seen that. You just get this generic AI-sounding fluff back.
Exactly. It helps no one. Instead, you have to act as the managing editor. You jump on a quick, like, 15-minute voice memo, and you just dictate the raw, unfiltered expertise. You provide your proprietary methodology, the specific industry friction you're seeing, and the exact counter-narrative you want to argue.
Oh, wow. So you are basically downloading your brain into a rough outline, and then you're paying the writer to do the structural heavy lifting of turning that into, say, 1,500 polished words.
That's exactly it. The freelancer handles the drafting, the keyword integration, all the formatting, and then you review it and just inject your specific brand voice. You retain total ownership of the thought leadership, but you've reduced your personal time investment from 6 hours to, like, maybe 45 minutes.
That is a massive paradigm shift. Okay, yeah. So we've committed the time or we've strategically sourced a writer. The next phase of the Pitcot blueprint is defining exactly who is on the receiving end of that time and why we are talking to them. So let's get into the audience persona.
Yeah, and this is where we see the highest failure rate in corporate blogging, honestly. The fatal flaw is using your platform as a corporate diary.
Yes. Writing about your recent awards or, like, your new office space.
Or a minor software update that nobody cares about. When a reader lands on your site, you have to remember they are ruthlessly selfish. They only have one silent question. Is this going to help me solve my immediate problem?
Right. And if they don't see the answer to that question, the first two sentences, they are just bouncing right back to the search results. I really appreciate how the Pitcot methodology attacks this using the Sarah persona. Because they push us way past those basic demographics.
Oh, demographics are just the starting point.
Exactly. Knowing your target is a 34-year-old female in an urban center, that is useless for writing compelling copy. We need the psychographics.
Psychographics are everything. They're the underlying motivations, the fears, the daily frictions of your buyer. To build the Sarah persona, you don't just look at census data, right? You look at sales call transcripts. You talk to your customer support team.
Let's use the blueprints hypothetical here. So Sarah is a freelance designer who just landed a massive corporate client. But the psychographic insight is that she is utterly terrified of looking incompetent.
Yes, she doesn't know how to navigate their corporate procurement process. She's drowning in their jargon, and it is literally keeping her up at 2 a.m.
Huh, right. So you aren't writing an article titled Best Design Practices. You are writing How to Manage Your First Enterprise Client Without Losing Your Mind. You write exclusively to solve Sarah's 2 a.m. panic. You do not write for Google's algorithm, and you certainly don't write to sound smart to your competitors.
And when you write directly to Sarah's anxiety like that, your vocabulary naturally shifts. You stop using all that stiff corporate speak. Your empathy rises. Your writing becomes incredibly direct. And direct, empathetic writing is exactly what converts a casual reader into a trusting buyer.
Now, speaking of conversions, the blueprint lays out four distinct primary goals for a business blog. So you have the SEO play, which is engineered to capture cold, top-of-funnel search traffic. You have trust building, meant to nurture warm prospects already in your ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have brand authority, which positions your leadership team as industry experts. And finally, retention, which is all about keeping current customers educated and reducing churn. But I have to playfully push back on this framework for a second.
Okay, let's hear it.
Let's be real. Small business owners don't have the luxury of writing 10 different posts for 10 different goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I have limited resources, isn't it just infinitely more practical to blend SEO and lead generation and retention into one giant piece of content? Like, I want to rank on page one, show off my expertise, and keep my current clients happy all at exactly the same time.
I get it. It is incredibly tempting to try and do that. But blending those goals is exactly how you create this Frankenstein piece of content that just fails at everything.
Really? How so?
This is why the Pitcot blueprint is so remarkably rigid about the one-sentence goal. You have to understand the mechanics of search intent versus narrative flow.
Okay, break that down for us. What happens when they clash?
Well, think about it. If someone goes to Google and types, how to format a corporate compliance report, their search intent is purely transactional. They want a bulleted list, clear headers, and immediate answers. To rank for that SEO keyword, your post must be structured highly technically.
They just want the steps.
Exactly. But if your goal is brand authority, say, you want to write a deeply nuanced essay on the future of corporate ethics, that requires a completely different narrative flow. It requires storytelling, long-form paragraphs, building complex arguments.
Oh, I see.
So if you try to stuff SEO keywords into a nuanced thought leadership essay, it reads artificially. And if you try to squeeze a deeply philosophical essay into a quick SEO bullet point structure, the searcher gets frustrated and bounces.
That makes total sense. The actual structure of the post fundamentally changes based on the goal.
Precisely. If you conflate the goals, the format just breaks down completely. You need to be able to state your mission in one sentence. Like, our blog exists to rank for X keyword and convert cold traffic into email subscribers.
And if you cannot articulate that single objective,
do not hover over the publish button. Just don't do it.
Wow, that clarity is a massive time saver. It acts as this instant filter for every single idea you brainstorm.
Yeah.
Now, before we pivot into the technical stack required to actually build this digital ecosystem, I want to invite you to take a quick breather and visit www.pitcott.com for even more incredible resources, tools, and blueprints to elevate your business. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
Awesome.
All right, let's talk about the digital real estate itself. We know who Sarah is. We know our one sentence goal. How do we actually build a foundation for this house?
Well, the platform debate often paralyzes businesses, but the blueprint looks at this strictly through the lens of long-term enterprise valuation. You generally have two paths, right?
Yeah.
Open source platforms like WordPress.org or closed ecosystem platforms like Wix or Squarespace.
And the trade-off there is always control versus convenience, isn't it?
Exactly. An open source platform is your maximum control environment. You have absolute ownership of your data. You can implement highly advanced technical SEO plugins, and you can customize the code to your exact specifications. It is the gold standard for long-term growth.
Oh.
But it requires a learning curve and active maintenance. Conversely, the closed ecosystems offer incredible speed to market. You get built-in templates, managed hosting, and zero technical backend to worry about. For a lean business prioritizing speed, that trade-off is often worth it.
But the Pitcott methods issue a very stark warning here about building your audience on what they call rented land. It is so tempting right now to just spin up like a Substack or a Medium account because the audience is supposedly already there.
Yeah.
What is the actual strategic risk of doing that?
The strategic risk is massive because you do not own the distribution channel. When you build on rented land, you are entirely at the mercy of their business model and their algorithm.
Right. They change the rules on you.
Exactly. If that platform pivots to a paid model or changes how content is surfaced or, you know, simply goes bankrupt, your entire content library and your direct connection to your audience just vanishes overnight.
And from a valuation standpoint, if you ever go to sell your business, an owned email list and a high authority domain are tangible assets on your balance sheet. 10,000 followers on a rented platform. That's a liability because they can't be ported over.
Exactly. Owning your platform, your own domain, your own hosting is the only way to build compounding digital equity.
Yeah.
But having that beautiful, perfectly optimized site sitting on your own domain brings us to the next massive hurdle. Because you and I both know the internet is not a magical build it and they will come utopia.
Huh. Right. The blueprint calls this the fatal flaw of blogging. Assuming that publishing is the exact same thing as promoting. And I think the most counterintuitive insight here is that the biggest mistake people make isn't writing too little. It's actually writing too much and promoting too little.
Yes.
You should really be spending, 20% of your time writing the content and 80% of your time actively distributing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, publishing without promoting is like throwing a massive blockbuster movie premiere in an underground bunker and literally forgetting to send out the invites.
Ah. That is the perfect analogy.
Right.
Because nobody is aimlessly wandering the internet hoping to stumble across your brilliant insights. You have to take the content directly to them. The blueprint mandates a really rigorous promotion checklist.
Let's hear it.
Every single post must hit your own email list. It must be sliced up and distributed across your active social channels. But the real engine for organic growth is understanding the mechanism of guest posting and backlinks.
Okay, let's ELI5 this for a second. Explain it like I'm five, because we hear the words backlinks and domain authority thrown around constantly in marketing. Why does Google actually care if another website links to yours? How does that mechanism actually work?
Okay, so it really helps to think of Google's algorithm as an academic library. In academia, how do you know which research paper is the most authoritative?
You look at how many other reputable scientists cited that paper in their own work.
Exactly. Google's core algorithm, which was originally called PageRank, works on that exact same principle. A backlink is simply a citation. It is a digital vote of confidence. When a highly authoritative site in your specific industry links back to your blog, Google sees that citation and says, ah, the industry trusts this domain, therefore we should rank it higher in the search results.
Oh, wow. So when the Blueprint advocates for writing stellar guest posts for larger publications in your niche, you aren't just doing it for the immediate exposure to their audience. You are securing that academic citation. You are actively forcing Google to respect your domain.
Exactly. Earning high-quality backlinks is what skyrockets your domain authority. And to fuel all of this distribution without completely burning out your team, you have to master repurposing.
Oh, I love repurposing.
It's vital. That 3 to 6 hour investment into a single 1,500-word post, that is not just a blog post. That is the raw material for your entire marketing ecosystem.
It's the ultimate leverage. You extract a nuanced argument for a long-form professional LinkedIn article.
Yeah.
You pull three punchy, maybe controversial quotes for your micro-blogging channels. You restructure the H2 tags into a script for a short-form video or even a podcast outline. Like, one core piece of content feeds the machine for weeks.
Yes. Which brings us to the final and honestly perhaps the most vital phase of the blueprint, the scorecard. Because a content strategy without rigorous measurement is, well, it's just an expensive hobby.
Right. Business decisions cannot be based on vibes or guesses.
Precisely. You have to map your metrics directly back to that one sentence goal we established earlier.
Okay, so if your explicit goal was an SEO play to capture cold traffic, you do not look at your total page views.
Right.
Because total page views can be skewed by a single viral social media post.
Exactly. Instead, you look at organic search sessions, the specific keywords you are actively ranking for, and your click-through rates from the actual search engine results pages.
And if the goal was lead generation, you completely ignore those vanity metrics. You laser focus on email signups, contact form submissions, and the mathematical conversion rate of traffic to leads.
Yep. And to capture this data accurately, the Blueprint demands the immediate implementation of Google Analytics and Google Search Console from day one. Search Console is particularly vital because it shows you exactly what search terms people typed in right before they found you.
Oh, that's huge.
It shows you your technical blind spots, and you don't just collect this data. You review it monthly to spot behavioral patterns. Where is the friction? Are they bouncing after the first paragraph? Are they staying for 4 minutes but never clicking the call to action? You use that data to double down on what works and ruthlessly prune what doesn't.
But let's apply some real-world friction to this scorecard, because here's where it gets really interesting. The PicGot methods explicitly warn that an SEO strategy takes 6 to 12 months to show meaningful compounding results. We can compare it to turning the wheel of a massive heavy cargo ship, right? You spin the wheel today, you hit publish, you build a backlink, but it takes miles and miles of open ocean before that massive ship actually changes direction.
Such a good analogy.
So how does a business owner survive month 3 or month 4 when they're pouring all this time and money into the strategy, but their dashboard still shows zero organic traffic? How do they avoid just throwing in the towel?
It is the single most common point of failure, and survival comes down to understanding the critical difference between leading indicators and lagging indicators.
Okay, explain that.
Traffic, qualified leads, closed revenue, those are lagging indicators. They are the harvest. It takes Google months to crawl your site, test your content against user behavior, evaluate your new backlinks, and finally promote you out of what we call the sandbox phase. If you measure your success in month 3 by looking for the harvest, you will quit out of pure frustration.
So what are the leading indicators they should be obsessing over instead?
The leading indicators are the seeds you are aggressively planting. Are you consistently publishing high-quality, intent-driven posts? Are your writers hitting their deadlines? How many high-authority backlinks did your guest posting campaign secure this month? How many new email subscribers did you capture through your social distribution? If those leading indicators are trending upward, you have to stay patient. The mechanics of the internet guarantee that the lagging indicators will inevitably catch up. You just have to trust the foundation you've built using the Pitcott methodology and stay the course.
Focus entirely on turning the wheel of the ship and trust that the direction will eventually change. That completely reframes the anxiety of those early months.
It really does. And if we pull all of these complex mechanisms together, the ultimate value proposition of this exact Pitcott blueprint becomes incredibly clear. When you commit the operational resources, when you write empathetically for your Sarah, when you define a rigid one-sentence goal, build on owned real estate, distribute aggressively, and measure with patience. Your blog fundamentally transforms. It ceases to be just a tab on your website menu.
It becomes a living, breathing asset.
Exactly. It becomes a tireless 24/7 sales engine. It works for you around the clock, across every time zone. It anticipates objections, educates prospects, and builds a deep, authoritative trust that simply cannot be bought with any amount of paid advertising. It really is the highest leverage marketing asset a business can own.
It really is.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive today, I want to leave you with one final highly provocative thought to just mull over. Step away from the metrics and the algorithms for a minute and just visualize your ideal reader. Visualize your Sarah sitting at her desk right now experiencing a massive professional friction that she needs to solve today. What unique, specific problem can your very first piece of content solve for her? What can you write right now that will make her breathe a deep sigh of relief? Start your entire strategy right there.
That is exactly where it begins.